Welcome to the Introvertpreneur Podcast. Take a breath because you are in the right place and you can finally stop apologizing for being an introvert. I'm Tara and I've discovered how to thrive as an entrepreneur while being 100% true to myself. Now I want to help you do the same. In these episodes, you're going to find everything you need to build a successful service-based business so you can stop competing with extroverts and grow and market your business with ease. Are you ready? Welcome back to another episode of the Introvertpreneur Podcast. We are joined today by Melissa, who is a copywriter, marketing strategist, and semi-retired rugby player. She helps coaches, course creators, and online service providers increase their conversions with ethical, science-backed copy that connects with their audience. And we are going to be talking quite a bit about ethical marketing and marketing in general as an introvert. So I know this conversation and this episode is going to be so good for everyone listening. But welcome, Melissa. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Yeah, so I would love for you to share a little bit more about your story because I love rugby and I was like so excited that like the semi-retired rugby player turned copywriter, marketing strategist. I find that so fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It is a weird combination. And like, I get looks every once in a while when I go to networking events because that's how I introduce myself. And I can tell people like, well, why would you bring that up? But that's how people remember me because people might know another writer. They might know another rugby player, but they probably don't know someone who does both. But to be honest, the reason I got into copywriting was a quarter life crisis. I was a paralegal for 8 years before I was a copywriter. And I think like a lot of paralegals, I thought I should probably go to law school. I do think the legal field is interesting, but I didn't love it. I did family law, civil litigation. I was a litigation paralegal. I did a little bit of criminal. So like I knew enough to realize like, okay, this is something I actually don't enjoy. And I wanted to do something that I wanted to write for a living, but didn't know how. So I ended up being stuck in the field for a little bit longer than I would have liked. And I was working at a really big firm, making good money as a paralegal, had a nice apartment. Like I had just finished playing in a World Cup, like not long beforehand. And like, I just wasn't happy. And it made me feel really guilty to admit that because I technically had everything I needed, but like, I still didn't feel happy. And like a lot of it had to do just because like I felt kind of stuck. So I ended up ironically getting an ad for copywriting. I had no idea what it was. And then I looked into it and I invested in a course and I was like, well, I think I could do this for a living. So I started like my LLC, took a while to get going just because that time in my life was just like everything else in life was pretty difficult. But I quit my job. I've been a copywriter for 3 years, been running my business full time for 2 years, and I quit my last job on my birthday. It wasn't the plan, but my biggest retainer client at the time that said, hey, we got more work for you and it was going to replace my income. So I was like, well, this sounds like good timing. I might as well do it now. But then I didn't hear from them for a couple of weeks. And it turned out that the company sold and I suddenly had zero income and I was living by myself at the time. So I had because I didn't have any business or copywriting experience, like before I got into everything, especially my first year of business was just a lot of me trying to figure everything out on my own. Because especially being an athlete, you're used to having coaches or other teammates, somebody you can ask a question to. And they either have an answer or some type of resource. And like, I just didn't have any of that. So it took a while to navigate everything, but I'm still happy with where I am. Like, I love what I do.
I'm curious about your like leaving as a paralegal. Did you have people in your life that were like, are you nuts? Like, what are you doing? Because I know I did when I sold my first business. They're like, you've worked so hard for this business and it's been your dream. And now it's at the level that you wanted it to be. Why are you selling it? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of people just don't know what a copywriter is. So like when I first explained it to my mom, like, I think she just kind of thought I was thinking out loud. And she, not that she didn't believe me, but she just didn't quite understand what I was doing. Because she always told me like, you should go to law school, be an attorney, because I really considered it. And I wanted to be an immigration attorney. But it's a really like emotionally taxing job because my parents are immigrants. So like I know like what they went through and that usually doesn't pay very well. And I didn't just want to go to law school. So it took a little bit of time for like my family to understand that. to be honest, like I didn't talk to my friends about it just because I didn't feel the need to. I guess I already knew I was going to do this. But for a while, my mom was like, well, you can always go back and work in an office. Tell her, no, I'm not working another regular job again, because I just didn't. It wasn't very fulfilling. And my life is very different now. And I'm really glad I did those things, because also, even though I was doing it for almost a decade, I was making good money for a paralegal. But like, if I still made that money now, like it'd be difficult to live off of it in a sense. So like, I'm really glad that I did. And my mom's really supportive now. Still doesn't understand like everything that I have to do. Because I mean, like when you're a solopreneur, like you're like writing the copy, for example, you're doing the outreach, you're networking, you're speaking at events. There's only so many hours in the day. So I think a lot of people see it as like, oh, well, you work for yourself. You can just take the afternoon off and do something else. And like, yes, you technically can, but that means you have to kind of readjust your week. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to just have set hours. Like I try to have set office hours to try to get everything done that way, because it makes me feel a little bit more productive.
Yeah, I've found that too. People are like, oh, well, you know, you're just working from home. You can like, you can come with me to this, or you can do this. Or mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I don't have any calls at that time, but I was planning on like doing this.
Other things, yes. There's always something to do.
Yeah. So I definitely want to dig into ethical marketing, because I know it's something that I've dug into a lot. I try to talk about a lot, but what does ethical marketing mean in general?
In general, at least to me, I think it's, so we all know that in marketing, you want to talk about the pain points, and I think that's completely okay, but ethical marketing, you're still touching on the pain points and you're leveling with someone and saying like, hey, I understand where you're coming from, and then present a solution from there instead of really hitting their pain points hard and making them feel bad about themselves, or using external urgency like this countdown timer, for example, and giving them a lot of pressure. It's very pressurized. So they can have, say, only like 10 spots available for a group coaching program and say, well, there's only 2 spots left, so you need to make a decision now, when in reality, that might not be true. So it's misleading in a way to get more sales. But ethical marketing really leans on being honest and being empathetic with people, because you do want to be very specific to the people you talk to. And we tend to attract people who are similar to us. So if we're going to be really open with our clients, for example, I think they really appreciate that, rather than someone telling them like, oh, you have to do X, Y, and Z now, otherwise you're never going to achieve your dreams. It's a bit of a hyperbole, and it doesn't feel great on either end. Like, I personally don't like talking to people that way, and I don't like to be sold to that way as well. So it feels a lot more human for someone to say like, hey, yeah, like I understand what you're going through. Like, I would love to help you out, but don't go into debt over this, or don't agonize over this. If you're not ready yet, that's completely okay. Because I think people will appreciate that a lot more than investing in you when the time is better for them, rather than spend a lot of money working with you now and then feeling like, oh, well, I don't know if I should have spent that much money. Like, I don't think I was ready, and like ends up creating other problems for them.
Yeah, it's like a trickle effect of other mm-hmm. issues, because if somebody like can't afford something and you pressure them into saying yes, it just starts things off on a bad foot. There's going to be like almost a level of desperation to it, and like, mm-hmm. why am I not getting these results? Like, I need, like, I invested in this. I need, like, yeah, there's a lot of pieces to it. And for me, it's kind of like, you know, if I write something, I'm like, how would I feel if I got this email? Like, because I'm a very sensitive person. So I try to write with that frame of mind of like, because I think when we think about like sales and marketing, it kind of goes back to like the pushy car salesman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I never want my audience or future customers or clients to feel like I'm a pushy car salesman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Because we all know, like, especially as women, we know what that feels like when you go to buy a car and you feel like you need to bring a guy friend along, or like your dad or somebody else with you. Because like, and this happened to me. I bought a car 5 years ago, I want to say, and already was getting the financing, I think, somewhere else. So like, I didn't need to spend this additional time with whoever this person was in the office. And they kept telling me like, oh, do you want this? They're trying to upsell me a bunch of stuff. And I kept telling them no. Like, I was firm, but I was polite. And then finally, someone there said, she said no. Just so frustrating. Because like I had been saying no, but it was very frustrating that like it took somebody else, like it took another man to not, I don't know, like not quite be more firm with it. But it was very frustrating. I think that's why so many of us will read an email and like really try to, we were like resonating with people and like their tone and their brand values. Because especially since the pandemic, I feel like a lot of us have shifted in a sense that we're more open to working with smaller businesses and buying from like local businesses, for example. They might cost a little bit more, but that's because it's not mass produced. So the quality is actually better a lot of the times. And it just creates this community that I think is really valuable.
I love that. Yeah. I've always made it a priority to like for Christmas shopping, I'm like 80% of what I'm buying for people for Christmas, I'm shopping on Etsy. I want to support handmade small business owners. And it feels good. So yeah, I probably pay more, but the gifts are more special. They're not like mass produced things. And I know that I'm like supporting the actual small economy instead of like big box stores.
Yeah, and they're more meaningful too, because there's so many things on Etsy that you can get personalized. Like I get a Christmas ornament on Etsy every year. And like, that's one of the, so like, it's, I always give my boyfriend two gifts. And one of them is always a Christmas ornament with the year. And then something that reflects something that we did together that year. And then like a little letter. And I always tell him it's because when we're old, we're going to have all these ornaments with like all the years we've been together. But it just feels more meaningful than just buying something random that they're going to forget about later.
Yeah. I think the best thing I ever got was my mother-in-law really loves doing puzzles. And in previous Christmases, I've gotten her a few like pretty puzzles from Amazon. And I was like, I'm going to look on Etsy because I'm sure there's somebody who like can take a photo and turn it into a puzzle. So I got a photo of my mother and father-in-law and I gave it to her as a gift. And she just loved that. Was like blown away that was possible so to
cool.
do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a personal touch like that. It's so meaningful and people remember that. People remember how you make them feel. And like, it's not just in like in relationships, it's also like in business too. Like if you work with somebody and your customer service isn't great or like they feel really pressurized, people are going to remember that. And people love having a personal touch.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is where like for introverts, especially because we are a lot of times overthinkers, we're in our heads a lot. We can understand where people are coming from, like that's a superpower for us when it comes to writing copy. Mm-hmm. Like if we just shut out all the noise of like, here's a strategy, here's like a specific call to action, and we're just ourselves, I think that is like mm-hmm. going to be powerful and ethical marketing.
Yeah, definitely. I tell people all the time that like, a lot of, like I tell my clients, a lot of the good copy that I write and they end up liking a lot, it really comes from them because you just talk to them enough and listen. And as long as you're a good listener, they usually have really great phrases. And I just start from there and then it can set the theme of the copy, like a sales page, for example, or I can elaborate on it a little bit more. And it's really cool to put together because a lot of people think, well, copywriting is just you sitting at a desk and typing. And I guess really one of the last parts of it. If your research is done correctly, then the copy kind of puts itself together. And like one of my favorite parts of my process is research calls. I do it for sales pages and for website copy. So I'll sit with my clients, typically three people who are like ideal fits for them. And I interview them for like 20, 25 minutes, just asking them like, well, what were you going through before you started working with them? What would have happened if you never worked together? What were your results? Like, is there anything else you can tell me? And just trying to have a pretty deep conversation with them. Because like I had a conversation with one of my past clients a couple of days ago, and he said, look, I didn't realize like one of my past clients that you talked to, that like she was so moved by the work we did together. She never mentioned it to me. And it's nice to be able to hear that from other people because clients, I feel like, don't always hear it. And it's nice to know that you were able to really transform someone's life and they were able to really learn a lot from whatever it is that you did together, whether it's copywriting or coaching or anything else. But like just having these conversations with my clients really helps with the copy. And I like putting it together like in a little document, sending it over to them, because we all like being told that we're good at our job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes we do hear that from clients, but we're just like in the moment, we're just like, oh, thanks so much. And, but if we ever get somebody who is like a not happy or expressing, we hang on to that then a lot longer than we do the all the good and positive things that are being said. We just kind of like, oh yeah, thanks. And then, but when we have somebody like you do that and get it, it's like, wow, I never really took in like what they were actually saying about working together.
Yeah, we can be really impactful in other people's lives. And sometimes two people just aren't a good fit. And that doesn't mean that either one of them is bad at what they do. Sometimes personalities just don't match up or something else is going on. And like, it's hard not to take those things personally. But like, especially like if we have that extra validation of like clients who like really loved working with us, like that definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. So I know you have a really, I love the analogy and I want to talk about it, about how marketing is like dating.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's a, I was just talking to someone about this at a networking event, and I was telling her, like, I think why a lot of women don't like the very salesy or the very aggressive bro marketing is because it feels very similar to a guy that's being overly aggressive with you, like when you're dating, whether it's in your DMs or at a bar or anywhere else.
Calling.
Yeah, exactly. And you either politely say no or you ignore them. And instead of respecting that, they try something else. And I've gotten that impression from a lot of bro marketing myself, which is why I don't like writing that way, just because I wouldn't want to make someone feel uncomfortable, because I don't think marketing should be uncomfortable. It should be thought provoking and it should be persuasive, but you don't have to make someone feel bad in order to persuade them. Cause to me, that's almost like, oh shit. So that's not something that I would want to go down. That's why I think it's so important to make sure that like you really know your ideal client and your audience very well and know exactly how they respond to everything, rather than pressuring them. Like, I'm a big fan of internal urgency rather than external urgency, because of course some things are capped, like maybe you can only have 10 one-on-one calls per month, for example. But sometimes, a lot of the times, I think internal urgency is better, and just future pacing a little bit and just having, just kind of leveling with someone, saying like, hey, I know how you're feeling right now, but imagine 6 months from now, you achieve XYZ goal, the one that you're trying to achieve now. This can be possible with the support, with all the resources, like the help that you can do for them. And just trying to put them in the shoes of like, okay, this is realistic. Like I think I can actually do this, rather than telling them, well, if you don't work with me, it's just not going to happen, which mm-hmm. is mean and not realistic, because I think a lot of us can achieve our goals without external help. It's just going to be a lot more difficult. And the whole point of working with someone like a service provider, for example, is to help accelerate that, because it is a lot easier when you have someone that you can ask questions to or have some type of community. But being able to have almost like a conversation with someone, say like, hey, like, I know this is what you're trying to do. Other people have gone through the same thing and have felt the same way as you, but they were able to achieve the goal. And like, if you're not ready for that right now, that's okay. We can try again later.
I love that. Yeah. Cause one thing that always comes up for me, and kind of like making somebody feel bad, is like, and I still see it, not as much lately, but I still see it sometimes, where like whether I've purchased something or I've gotten something like through a bundle and I've gone through like the sign up, but it's free, but it's typically a paid product. So it has an upsell. And on the upsell page, it's like the like add this to my order button is like normal. But then underneath it, it has the, typically it says, no thanks, don't add this to my order. And they've edited that text where it's like, no thanks, I'm going to continue to struggle, or no thanks, I'm not ready to scale, or I'm going to stay stuck. I'm like, that is the grossest thing. So whether I've bought something and see this, or it's through a bundle, I immediately unsubscribe from their email. Like, I don't want to be in your world, because it's just so.
Yeah. Or when they have the upsell and then the no thanks button is all the way up the bottom. And it's phrased in a way, and it's designed in a way that it looks like that button's at the top. But then you look at it more, and you're like, wait, I don't think this is what I'm trying to do. But yeah, I agree. Like, it's okay if somebody doesn't want to buy your tripwire, because they probably just don't know you very well. Like, it takes mm-hmm. time to build a relationship with somebody. Some people process things differently and they're fast action buyers, but most people aren't like that. Most people want to invest at least a little bit of time with you and into your free resource and say like, oh, okay, this is actually really good. Like, the upsell makes sense now, but not right away before they even had a chance to take a look at it.
Yeah. And that's going to make me like not even take a look at what it was I just got. Yeah. Yeah. That I have seen it a lot less, but I still see it sometimes. And that is the worst thing, I think, because it really just puts a negative like around the entire interaction.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, I don't think you have to be negative. Like, again, you should talk about the pain points in like a sales page or website copy, for example, but I don't think it needs to be the main focus, and you don't have to go into the pain points so deep that someone's like, okay, yeah, I get it. Like, I'm struggling with this. Can you just tell me what else you were trying to tell me? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, and I think if you hammer out the pain points like too much, like you said, it by the point they get to that like next step, then if they're still reading, you're going to have them making that purchase decision in a place where they're feeling really badly about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you were saying earlier, like that's not a great place to be. If you're enrolling into a new program, like any type of investment, you want to be excited about it and you should be happy about it. You shouldn't be, you can be hesitant because you're nervous, but not hesitant because like, oh, I think I just spent too much money. Like, I don't know if this is the right fit, because mm-hmm. that's really going to set the tone from day one. And I think it's really hard to change that.
Yeah. So I know you have a free resource around subject lines. So I definitely want to have you talk a little bit about that and just subject lines in general, because I do feel like I love email marketing. Email is like my number one now that I'm not on social media at all. So, and I love testing and playing with subject lines, and they can be so powerful, but sometimes they are really hard to figure out.
Yeah. And the reason I actually came up with that resource is because like, even though like I write for a living, I do my subject lines and my headlines last because I'll get stuck on them if I do them first. So for like a sales page, for example, I'll try to pull like a really good line and like maybe turn that into a headline. But with emails, you can't quite do that. And that's where I got the idea for the subject line formulas, because sometimes you just sit at your laptop a little bit too long and you can't come up with more ideas. So having some formulas, I think, is a really good starting point because you can test them out. And that's one thing that I really love about email marketing, is like you kind of do whatever you want with it and just see what performs better, what resonates with people a little bit more. But yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's 10 subject line formulas for attention grabbing emails. And I have some extra tips in there, like how to build your credibility and build your authority, just because we know as business owners that email marketing is really important, but it is difficult to do it for yourself until you kind of get into the groove of it. And then everybody gets writer's block every once in a while. So like, it's always handy to have something to help you out. Mm-hmm.
So I would love for you to also share like the clients that you typically work with, like how you work with clients, just if anyone is looking to connect with you and needs help. Cause I say like introverts, especially like using the power of words is so important, like to dedicate your time to that, especially if you don't want to do video or show up in other ways. But it can also be so hard to do it ourselves because we are overthinkers and we're too close mm-hmm. to it. We're maybe have perfectionism. So I always say, like, I feel like one of the best investments you can make is a copywriter.
Yeah, it's so powerful to be able to take someone's ideas and just kind of create something beautiful out of it. And like I tell clients all the time, like, I'm just being a good listener. You have a lot of ideas yourself, but because we're so close to it, sometimes you just need to verbalize that to somebody else. And it's so much fun to be able to take someone's ideas and just bring them to life and to be able to change their business that way. My website does say coaches, course creators, and online service providers, which is primarily who I work with. But like, honestly, I just love working with passionate entrepreneurs, someone who's very good at what they do and they love changing people's lives, but they might not have time or they might not know how to write their own copy. Like, I love stepping in and just getting to know them a bit and just going from there.
I love that. We will have all of your links in the show notes to your website and to that freebie about subject line formulas. But this was Awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. So go check out the show notes for Melissa's links and go connect with her. And yeah, let's all try to make ethical marketing more of a focus and priority. I know we all want to, and I know we can all learn a lot from you, Melissa. So thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This episode may have ended, but there are ways we can stay in touch until next time. You can join me at thetarotread.com, where you can find tons of blog posts and resources that will also help you grow your business. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at introvertcoach, where I share more introvert-friendly and service-based business tips with you. If you love what you're hearing, drop a 5-star rating and review telling me what you are loving about the podcast so that I can continue to encourage as many introverted entrepreneurs as possible. Until next time, keep using your introvert superpowers.